Today's scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 67 to 80. His father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through his holy prophets of long ago. Salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and he lived in the desert until he appeared publicly to Israel.
Can you teach an old dog new tricks? An old dog is so used to habits, customs. He says, sometimes we say that it's very difficult to teach old, because it's already used to all this custom, tradition, etc. How about, can we excite old Christians about the Christmas story? To some of us, we have heard it so many times, you know. Whenever we, in Christmas time come, you know, all the shepherds in the wilderness, you know, Mary, Joseph, Zechariah, you know, and the inn, the busy inn, you know. As pastors, you know, sometimes Christmas is a time of challenge, you know. How can we really teach the Christmas story in a way that does not cause a yawn from the congregation, you know? There was a mature, pious, righteous man who also happened to be a priest. Can such a person, you know, who are so used to praying, praising God, and can we bring spiritual revival to such a person? Well, in today's scripture, we learn about, yes, there is possible. It is possible to bring revival even to an old priest, but it comes at a cost, and that cost is God place him in total silence for 10 months. And after 10 months, he come back energized, revived, excited about what God is doing in this world and to his people. Most of us probably very familiar with Zechariah, the priest. At the beginning of the Luke's gospel, it described how angel, God sent angel to come to him while he was ministering in the temple. And then the angel told him, your wife, Elizabeth, is going to have a child. You know, they, I don't know, maybe they are 80 years old. No, your wife will have a child. You know? And he will be the forerunner of the of a greater, the, a greater person. You know, he is going to herald the forerunners to the Messiah. And then Zechariah says, "Nah, 80 years old woman would not give birth, you know. And how could that be?" And then the angel said, "Because of your disbelief, you are going not to be able to speak for until this child come forth, when it is fulfilled." And then the story is, when the news spread, you know, Zechariah leave the temple and cannot speak. It's become a dumb person. And then during that time, God really think, give a revival lesson to Zechariah. And during that time, imagine if you were Zechariah. And then afterwards, you see your wife's Elizabeth's tummy is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you will be thinking, reflecting on what the angel was talking about this son. He will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That is the mission of this miraculous son that his wife is bearing. And this happened is in the prophecy of Isaiah. It's the last prophecy in the Old Testament. So what's the significance? My son is going to carry on the last prophecy of the Old Testament. And then later on, he saw Mary, their relative Mary, come to the house, also saying that I also get a message from an angel. He said, a virgin is going to carry a son. Mary and Elizabeth lived for 3 months. They talk. You know, when women live together, they talk. And then probably Zechariah also reflecting, and what does that mean? Contemplating of what is the significance of these two miraculous children in terms of God's promise. So what's the result of this 10-month silent retreat? We see that today's scripture. We see that Zechariah come out to be a very obedient person. You know, before he disbelieved God's message, and now he is totally committed to God's message. When the time comes for Elizabeth to give birth to the baby, all the neighbor and the relatives come, you know, wow, Elizabeth, old woman, barren woman, give birth to a child, you know. And then on the 8th day, according to the custom, they circumcise the baby boy, and then name the boy. And then all the Yima Guje, she should be called Zechariah Jr. Oh, no, he should be called David, maybe. Some great, giving all sorts of free advice. But then Elizabeth said, no, John. Oh, there's no person named John in your family. So they don't believe Elizabeth. So he said, send for the father, who is the ultimate authority. And then Zechariah still cannot speak, maybe not even be able to hear, because people was doing sign language to him. And he says, wrote on a tablet, his name is John. Actually, Bible scholars said he used to make the punchline is John first. John he is. So he is very committed. John he is. Why? Because that's what God said. You know. Despite all the relatives, he said, no, tradition says that this special boy should be named after the family name. Zechariah said, John he is. How about us? Do we obey God or do we submit to our peer pressure? You know, when you live in your life, you know, there's other people give you influence, you know. As Christian, I think sometimes we yielded, bend our moral standard. You know, we kind of compromise sometimes when other people force us. The expectations is too much. But here, after 10 months of silent retreat, we see that the first outcome of Zechariah is he obeyed God and not for people. And second, after this retreat, we see that Zechariah come out to be an awesome worshiper. Pastor Kao and Pastor Kiet would be, oh, jumping, you know, oh, awesome worshiper. He is awesome worshiper. He says, wow, he's just praising God. This song is a praise. Praise be to the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. And he is so excited. For a priest, you know, how many times he praised God, you know? He praised God for a living, you know. He is the one who, his profession is to praise God. But now you can see this is genuine, authentic worship. You know? Praise be to God. And how he can see the difference. It is not liturgy. It is not just something routine. It is something that comes out from the bottom of his heart. He experienced God's mercy and work. And he said, I see it. I get it. This is what God is doing to me and to this world. You are fulfilling your promise. Your promise to David. Your promise to our forefather, Abraham. You are going to raise up from David's descendant, a horn of salvation. The horn of salvation means the horn is the power, the mighty salvation. And you are enabling Abraham's descendants so that he is going to free us from our enemies so that we can serve God without fear. And my son now is part of this plan. Verse 76, he says, and you, my child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. So my son, John, is going to be part of this plan to prepare for this great salvation plan, the Messiah. So you see, you can teach an old dog new learn tricks. Even for us, old-time Christian, 10 years, 20 years, it is time for us even to experience spiritual revival. So how about us? We think about as Christmas coming. Christmas is a familiar story. How can we properly prepare for the coming of our Lord in ways that is truly honoring him and truly reviving us? I think from today's scripture, first we learn to be silent and meditation. We have to recognize God's story and find out how we fit in this story. Zechariah, you see, even at this stage, Zechariah did not have the complete story. He doesn't know that John is going to come out of his relative's baby, Mary, he's going to be the Messiah. And he did not truly know that. He just know that roughly this Messiah is going to save his country. But he does not realize that this Messiah is going to eventually die on the cross and save the sin of the entire humanity, fulfilling the promise that God promised to Abraham, that from your seed you will bless all nations. But you see, Zechariah doesn't know. You and I know, because God have already revealed all this to us. So, and then also, God also revealed for us that this Jesus who died also resurrected from death. And then can he eventually, after 40 days, he commissioned his disciple, his church, to go and witness, continue to proclaim this news to the whole world. And in the Gospel and also in the book of Acts, we see that how the church was planted by these disciples who respond in obedience. Churches like Corinth, churches like Ephesus, churches like Colossians, all these churches, Philippians, all these churches was planted by Paul. And then we also see that how the apostles, Paul, Peter, John, James, wrote to the church to build up the foundation, the theology, the truth, and how to live out in practical life as disciple of God, how to live their life in community and in faith throughout all these letters. So we have the complete revelation, complete story, and there is still a part that is not fulfilled. Book of Revelation, there's the part of the new heaven and earth that is not fulfilled. But that is the part that God invited all of us to participate in. Just like Jesus commissioned his disciples to go and make disciples of all the world. So we are also part of this. So are we excited as Zechariah? We heard of, see how he fits in God's plan. And do you feel excited on Christmas? Remind yourself that you and I are also part of this story. You know? And we have to be excited. Knowing the complete story excites us. And Christmas, therefore, is not just another church program. Christmas is how we fit into God's story. Second, I think we should learn from to be like Zechariah in praise. Our purpose in life is to learn how to praise God. Our entire present life is to learn that. How much we enjoy God in eternity depends on how much you invest now, today, in knowing God. You know, I ask you a very deep question. When all of us get to heaven, do we enjoy God all the same degree? You know, you talk about the different rewards, you know. Oh, a lot of people that getting to heaven is just get there, you know. I don't care about what happened afterwards. All I care is just get there. Okay, for me, that is the really absolute minimum. You say, if you really just want to just get to heaven and just live a life that just the bare minimum to go to heaven, well, I cannot blame you. We like everybody to get to heaven. You know? But you know, once you get to heaven, God have a wonderful plan for all of us to work, to minister for the glory of God, to enjoy God forever. And how can we do that? How is there a degree of enjoyment of God? You know, I always cannot think about, resolve this question until I learn about from a theologian who says, our days on earth is to prepare. How much effort you put on this life, multiply how much you enjoy God when you get to heaven. For eternity. You know how it is, you know? The theologian gives an example, you know? You all know if you go to a music concert given by really master of the world, you know. You know, if you go to this concert, everybody enjoy his music, right? You know, But you also know that if you know more about music history, about music theory, you know, about how much you know about this musician, you will enjoy his music even in a very deep way, right? You know, for us, you know, I go to Handel's Messiah every year, and you know, and then, oh, good, good music. But for those of us who are musicians, choir members, who say, wow, you know, their enjoyment goes to a different level. So it is for us. When we get to heaven, you know, when we serve our whole life in a diligent, obedient life, by the time we get to heaven, wow, it's a, oh, Lord Jesus, you are the one I sacrificed. You sacrificed your life for me. And I, in this life, I have the privilege to suffer for you. Ah, Lord, this crown of righteousness, oh, so good. You know. Well, you would enjoy God so much better than to say, God, I just barely accepted you the last day on earth. I'm not that it's good, not bad. It's good. You are there. But you will say, Lord, in my life, that's all I have for you. You know, maybe a check of $2,000. Would you like it? That's not what God wants. You know. So anyway, this we learn how to be a true worshiper while we are on earth. This is our purpose. Our eternity destination is to glorify God. So learn to be a good worshiper. And third, live your life under the light. In verse 76 to 79, it says, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, for by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the path of peace. Salvation is more than forgiveness of sins. It is also a way of living under the light. John is to make the preparation for the forgiveness of sins, which include repentance. But salvation also means God come to us with his light of truth. And imagine in the olden time, no electricity. Let's say, imagine if you are in the wilderness at night, what would happen? Total darkness, right? And in imagining that shadow, the darkness, the shadow of death, and light come to you. And that's what salvation is. And he says, the light will come to guide you to walk in wilderness in the path of peace. That's what salvation is, for us to live a life under the glory of light. So this Christmas, let's just think that this is what Jesus come to us. Our response should be like Zechariah, to respond in obedience despite what the world putting us pressure on. Maybe it's a time for us to share the news. Call up good friends. You know, Christmas is really a good time to call up, you know. Look up in your university alumni handbook, you know. Call up this friend that you haven't met for 10 years. The student handbook, your old directory, you know. Call them up. Christmas is a good excuse, you know. Hey, I miss you this Christmas. Call up somebody. Share your resources. Jesus, God sent his son to the earth for us. And Christmas time is the time that we share our blessings. Silence, meditation, I've already mentioned. Try not to get distracted, you know. I really hate to see it, you know. I know that this Christmas, a lot of our members went on holiday, cruise, I don't know what it is. All I know is our choir members would not have enough people to practice because a lot of people gone on vacation. And then on the December 25th, I asked people, would you come? And they, no, I'll be gone on vacation. Okay, there may be some that's very good reason. I know it's a couple that he have to, their daughter is going to give birth, you know. So they go there to help out. Okay, I can see that. But Christmas is not the opportunity because of have a special and a time, extra time off. I'm going to go away to take away on a bargain vacation. I think I may get into trouble of this, you know. Don't just go on a Christmas holiday just because the price is right, you know. Christmas is the time that we people gather here to celebrate. You know, don't let the world distract us from our devotion to God. So anyway, I think I've talked too long. So let's pray. Okay. Lord, we are excited because we know that we live under a sovereign plan that you are for this world, to restore your creation. And we are witnessing all this is happening day after day, year after year, decades after decades. It is all towards your glorious plan for all of us. Help us live our life to learn how to worship you, to glorify you, and with the wonderful hope and news, hope that one day we will see you face to face, to enjoy you forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the meantime, help us be fruitful, help us to be faithful follower of you, to glorify you and to serve your purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.